A special Haynes Assembly meeting will include discussion of the vacant interim manager position. And for Haynes and Skagway, 2016 was the warmest year on record. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. The Haynes Borough Assembly is holding a special meeting Tuesday to discuss several issues related to the vacant borough manager position. Last month, the Assembly voted 4-2 to terminate the contract of manager Bill Seward. Now, they're working to get an interim manager in place to fill the position until a new permanent manager is hired. The Assembly's Personnel Committee recommended Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan for the job at a meeting last week. He served as interim manager around this time last year and received favorable reviews. Ryan has offered to take on the job again, but he's not the only candidate for the position. Dave Palmer, a former city manager in Juneau, Craig, and Petersburg, also offered to step in. At last week's Personnel Committee meeting, Assemblyman Tom Morfitt said that's who they should be considering. He and other Assembly members suggested interviewing Palmer for the position. The Assembly will discuss both offers at the special meeting. Also on the agenda is an executive session with the borough's attorney, Brooks Chandler. That portion of the meeting will cover Big Salmon litigation. Big Salmon Ventures is owned by Haynes resident Scott Sundberg, who also owns the heliskiing company Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures. In 2015, Big Salmon was denied a conditional use permit to operate a heliport on Chilkat Lake Road. They appealed the decision in Superior Court. Last month, the judge upheld the borough's rejection of the permit. The executive session will also involve discussion about a public records request for Assembly emails and information related to the termination of Bill Seward. Those records were requested by Seward, and his attorney plans to use the information in determining whether the termination was wrongful. The meeting will be held at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday in Assembly Chambers. Things got a little heated in the Northern Lynn Canal last year. Both Haynes and Skagway experienced the warmest year of record in 2016. And they're not alone. Communities across Alaska felt above average temperatures last year.
The warmest year of record observed from Metlakatla to Barrow to Dutch Harbor and most places in between.
Rick Toman is the Climate Science and Services Manager at the National Weather Service in Alaska.
At least based on the data we have so far, every single long-term climate site in Alaska had a top 3 year, and the majority, 2016, is the warmest year of record.
Haynes and Skagway are both in that category. For each community, the National Weather Service doesn't have a long, continuous record of observations. But the information they do have dates back more than a century. They're able to use the available data and information from other communities to make these kinds of determinations confidently.
In this case, for northernmost southeast, we do have the case where we have observations from at least either Haynes or Skagway in some of the very warmest years.
In Haynes, the average temperature in 2016 was 44.3 degrees, the highest ever recorded, about 3.1 degrees above average.
That doesn't sound like very much, but looking at a whole year, that's a very substantial departure. And in fact, it is over half a degree warmer than the second warmest year, for which we have nearly complete observations for Haynes.
That second warmest year in Haynes was in 1981. In Skagway, Toman says the average temperature last year was 44.8 degrees.
That is just about 3 degrees above normal. And the previous warmest year for Skagway was 1926 with an average of 44.4. So the 2016 exceeded that by almost half a degree. And that 1926 was an exceptionally warm year over nearly all of Alaska. So the fact that Skagway exceeded that in 2016 is a good sign that really there are no warmer years in the last century plus in the area.
Last year's warm temperatures did not come out of nowhere, and they're not unique to the Upper Lynn Canal. Here's Toman.
The last couple of years have been very warm across southeast Alaska, and it's certainly part of the very long-term trend. Of course, there's considerable year-to-year variability. It's not quite as dramatic as in other places in Alaska where changes in sea ice, for instance, are really driving temperatures up. We don't have those kind of issues for southeast, but certainly part of the long-term trend.
Another factor Toman looks at is precipitation.
Precipitation for 2016 for Haines was above average, about 117% of normal, but certainly nowhere near records.
But it was a significant year compared to other areas around the state.
From the statewide perspective, one of the most interesting things is northern southeast was one of the few areas that was actually snowier than average during 2016 up at the customs station. Of course, often one of the snowiest places in Alaska, almost the only place in the state that actually wound up with significantly above normal snowfall for 2016.
He's referring to the customs station on the Haines Highway at the Canadian border. Right now, the preliminary data is available for specific locations around the state. Statewide and regional analysis will be released later this month. The University of Alaska Southeast is now the lead university in the state for teacher education. The University of Alaska Board of Regents voted on December 21st to formalize what has long been an unofficial reality of the state's university system. The move will not substantially affect faculty or course offerings at university campuses in Anchorage or Fairbanks, but rather it will allow the UAS campuses in Juneau, Sitka, and Ketchikan to focus their efforts on expanding already successful programs in teacher recruitment and training. KCAW's Robert Woolsey recently spoke with UAS Chancellor Rick Caulfield about the new designation.
We'll be working closely with our colleagues at the University of Alaska Anchorage and also in Fairbanks on a goal of really dramatically increasing the number of Alaskans teaching in our schools. The University of Alaska President Jim Johnson has said that we really need to increase the number of Alaskan-educated teachers. Currently, about two-thirds of the teachers hired in Alaska in any given year come from out of state. And what he has said is by 2025, he'd like to see 90% of the new teachers hired in the state coming from Alaska and from the University of Alaska. And that's a goal that I share, and I know many other people do as well. So the good news is that UAS, our three campuses in Juneau, Sitka, and Ketchikan, will have a role to play in providing leadership across the entire state and achieving that goal.
Why is it so important that we increase the number of teachers in Alaska who are from Alaska, do you think?
Well, I think it's important to have teachers in our classrooms who really understand the state's people, our communities, our economy, the cultures, the languages of our great state. And inevitably, we'll have some teachers coming from elsewhere, and that's fine because they bring new ideas and energy. But I think the fact that only a third of our Alaskan teachers hired in any given year are from Alaska suggests that we could benefit from having those who have a much richer understanding. And I would say particularly in smaller rural schools and Alaska Native communities where the turnover in teachers is quite regular, in many cases only a year or two. And I think the more we can focus on seeing people from those communities become teachers or encouraging those who do come from elsewhere to stay longer and provide quality education, I think that's to the benefit of the students in those communities.
Did the University of Alaska Southeast have to give up anything in order to become the lead program? Was there a quid pro quo of any kind?
Not really, but this is a time of significant change in the University of Alaska system. And this conversation about teacher education is part of a broader review called Strategic Pathways. And President Johnson and the Board of Regents have put into motion a review of all of our academic programs and administrative programs. And on the administrative side, in areas like IT and human resources and so forth, we're looking to reduce costs as much as we can, just part of our budget realities. But at the same time, in the academic areas, there's been a focus on working with the strengths of each of the universities. So just as in Fairbanks, for example, Arctic Research and Engineering are very prominent, and in Anchorage at UAA, healthcare programs, business and finance are very much a part of the programs that they offer. teacher education historically has been an anchor, really a central part of what the University of Alaska Southeast has been about. So it's a recognition of the strengths of our university, even as there will continue to be faculty in Fairbanks and Anchorage, but working under an aligned program led by UAS.
Rick Caulfield is the Chancellor of the University of Alaska Southeast. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.